might be important.
And it's Mighty Marvel Geeks bringing to you another issue here on Sorcerer Radio. I'm your host, Mike. On the other side of the table, we've got Ken. How you doing?
Hello,
today,
I'm doing great. And how are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's been one crazy week in the Marvel Universe.
Yes, it's been quite busy, of course, after every time we end or record a podcast, I should say, some major news comes out that we have to do a week later, but it's a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. So what we've got is we're going to cover some Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like always while it's running, and there's news for it.
While it's running. I like the, while it's running.
We're going to talk a little Ant-Man and everything that went on there.
I see what you did there. A little Ant-Man.
Hey.
I see what you did there.
He's not my uncle. He's got to be my Ant-Man.
I see what you did there, too.
And then the second half of the show, we're going to talk some comics. And focus on the comic side a little bit more. Big news broke. What, Monday was it, or was it Friday after we recorded?
Well, which
Michael Douglas?
Which story.
Michael Douglas has been confirmed as Ant-Man,
right? As Hank Pym as the first Ant-Man, Hank Pym, which would mean Paul Rudd will play Scott Lang, the second Ant-Man.
Correct.
Should we go into the details now, or
It's news is up, so we might as well.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, Lang, well, first of all, Michael Douglas being cast as Hank Pym means he's an older Hank Pym.
Correct.
First of all, because isn't he's like, in the comics, he's like Tony Stark's age, right?
I thought so, yeah.
In the age range. And as far as Scott Lang goes, he steals Pym's technology so he could save his daughter. So
right.
He's kind of he used to be a criminal, but I guess stealing that technology makes him a criminal still.
He just borrowed it for a few days.
It was to save his daughter, so does that still mean it's okay?
Not in the real world, but in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, quite possibly.
Right. Do you know which comic book and what year Ant-Man first appeared in?
I do not.
Tales to Astonish number 27, 1962.
Very cool. So
useless info. Well, it's not really useless.
Well, it's not useless.
And Scott Lang appeared when?
1979,
Avengers 181.
See, that was close.
Uh-huh.
That was close.
But yeah.
I had the right decade.
Yeah, well, you're close. You're getting there within 10 years.
Yeah.
So Douglas is 69.
Well, right now. Kevin Feige said, with Hank Pym's rich history in the Marvel Universe, we knew we needed an actor capable of bringing the weight and stature to the role that the character deserves. Mm-hmm. We felt incredibly relieved when Michael Douglas agreed to step into the part with the charm and fortitude he brings to every character he inhabits, and couldn't be more excited to see what he will do to bring Hank Pym to life.
This is Douglas' first role in a superhero movie, isn't it?
I believe so.
I think so.
It's not his first stint in action, obviously, with Jewel of the Nile and Romance in the Stone.
Yes.
In reverse order.
Yes.
Yes,
you flip-flopped him there.
Yes. For those who aren't that familiar with Michael Douglas's filmography, he has starred in Wall Street, Basic Instinct, Fatal Attraction, The Game.
Wall Street 2.
Wonder Boys.
His latest one was Behind the Candelabra.
Yes. the Liberace biography.
Yep. I think he's up for an award for that or something, though.
Yeah. In addition to acting, Douglas has also served as producer and executive producer on a number of films, including Romancing the Stone, John Carpenter's Starman, and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which he won an Academy Award for Best Picture.
Nice. I think my favorites with him are Black Rain. That's a good one. And what was the one where he had a bad day and he just went crazy on people?
Was that Traffic?
No, it was like... Oh, I don't remember. It'll come to me. It'll come to me eventually.
Once it was Traffic.
No, it's not Traffic. Trust me.
What?
No. It's not Traffic. It's Falling Down.
Falling, okay. Well, to me, I mean, I'm a big action guy. So I enjoyed the Romancing the Stone and Jewel of the Nile.
Oh
series.
Yeah, they're great. They're great too.
I mean, it wasn't the King Solomon, you know, Solomon Mine stuff. It was more of a modern twist on Indiana Jones during the same time period.
Yeah,
those films were being released. Yeah,
you're dating yourself, you know.
Well, no, I'm married. So. Oh, wait.
Oh, jeez. Terrible. Welcome to the show of terrible jokes.
So that solidifies Michael Douglas as Pym.
What we're trying to say is he's a good choice.
this is going to be an interesting cast. It's maybe not going to be as slapstickish as everyone thought. When it was just the rumor of Paul Rudd, also confirmed in this as well.
Right. Scott Lang is not really this slapish comedy type.
No, but I think he's going to have some with Paul Rudd at the helm.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
So, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It had the potential going into the winter break. We're now second episode out, and it's still Tahiti's still on the minds, even on the show. It's like, Coulson's questioning why,
and they don't answer,
and they still don't bring it up, or still don't. We're still left in the dark.
No, instead we're going to focus on the dingbats. I mean, the scientists, too.
No. I think the interesting twist out of this is we do get more answers about Sky.
Right. They don't answer, though, whether she's, got powers or not yet.
No. All we know is she's a 084.
No.
And that wherever... whatever she's involved with, someone dies.
Mm-hmm.
So, people who thought we were thinking were her parents were actually
S.H.I.E.L.D.
agents trying to protect her because they were investigating her as a 084.
Hey, you didn't play your spoiler warning.
Yeah. No. It's Saturday. People haven't seen it by now.
Sorry.
But we gave the disclaimer last week that, we are talking about S.H.I.E.L.D. We will be recapping it. We will be previewing the next episodes.
There will be spoilers.
There's going to be spoilers. It's going to be the nature of the show.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be as much of a show.
So, I found that interesting. That, she's a 084.
Mm-hmm.
The whole bit at the academy, I was a little...
With the ice thing?
Yeah. I was unsure where they were going with that. Were they proving that, Donnie is at the same... almost the same intelligence level as Fitz and Simmons.
Just like a mastermind or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, to hear that the whole thing was a setup by him and the guy who ended up trapped in the ice at the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm. Which that spawns a big problem.
Yeah. Well, and I guess the clairvoyant was, or there was a guy working with the clairvoyant that was, that hired him to create this ice machine. And they just needed to trick Fitz
to help them out
to help complete the project on the larger scale.
I guess McDonald's was asking for more ice than they could really handle.
So
a giant ice machine, okay.
Snow cones. As if there wasn't enough of a polar vortex across this country as it is.
Oh, there's a polar vortex in Florida right now.
True. I wonder if it's coming from the Science and Technologies division of the SHIELD Academy.
Apparently it is. That's or the new supervillain is here.
So, I found it real interesting that they're focusing again on Fitz and Simmons. There's been some interesting stories, but I think people are wanting more Ward. People are wanting more Agent May. Mm-hmm. People are wanting more about Coulson and now Tahiti/Dr. Fury.
A lot of unanswered stuff. And why do you think they're focusing on them? I mean,
I don't know.
Because it seems like that they kind of have been listening to their audience, but I don't know if the audience really likes these characters. I mean, I don't in particular.
Well, the thing is, which audience are they listening to? Are they listening to the geeks? Are they listening to the Marvel fanboys?
They're not listening to the geeks.
Are they listening to those who they're trying to draw in and convert over, who will eventually be the audience to show up for Avengers 2 and to show up for Captain America 2?
Once again, you are listening to Ken's bashing of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well,
that's what this has become.
Well, I think if you listen to a lot of the other Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Companion shows out there on iTunes or on Stitcher, I think a lot of them are slowly going the same way. You're having people who are, total homeboys, fanboys, geek out about it, and show can do no wrong, to you're having mixed feelings with the host, even on the same show. You're getting a lot of mixed reaction, and I think that's causing a lot of conflict on some of those shows. That you got the ones that are saying, "Well, no, the Shield's perfect. You can't do no wrong."
Well,
with the others going, it's not carrying my interest.
Yeah, well, for me, and for a lot of people, Joss Whedon has his name attached to it, and it's not Joss Whedon caliber.
No, it's this at is all. Barely. This is his brother just barely hanging in there, and can't control the writers that he's got.
And like you were saying last week, you think it'll probably last through
Spring of 2015.
Through whatever you call it, Wave 2 or whatever it's called.
Phase 2,
sorry.
I think there needs to be a lot more Marvel in this.
Well, that's what they didn't want to do.
There's not.
There could be. segue.
Well, yeah. Stan Lee's appears in the next
episode. I didn't mean that.
Well,
other news with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Then we also got Bill Paxton coming in, yes. coming in for four episodes.
Which,
that's going to bring...
He's not the best actor in the world, but this is a character that was in the comics.
Right, but...
It was an Electra.
He's a big enough actor, though, to... You know, from film, from TV, to be brought in, you know, to help. Maybe this will help salvage the show some.
Right, and he'll be the only character that's from the comic book.
So far.
So, see how that goes.
Yeah. Well,
didn't that news come out on Monday, too?
Outside of Mara Hill, who's been in, I think, well, Agent Hand was in the comics as well, wasn't she?
Yes, and Jasper, Agent Jasper.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what they said about Paxton. Paxton is coming in as Agent John Garrett.
Rough and tumble former cohort of Agent Coulson.
Yeah, with a little bit of attitude and cigar smoking swagger. So a little Wolverine Punisher type attitude with a little Nick Fury blend is how I almost interpreted that.
He's a blend of many peoples.
Yeah. When Garrett got his promotion level 7, he refused to sit down behind a desk and doesn't like the formalities of S.H.I.E.L.D. So he's going to help Coulson solve some mysteries and not be afraid to rig an explosive or two. Okay. So what Agent May can't do, Garrett's going to do.
Okay.
So why couldn't they have done more with Agent May in helping Coulson? Why does it have to be Garrett?
Well, I guess she's not that good after all, then.
Yeah.
Isn't that what that says? That's
what it sounds like to me. So, the only tease they have about it is Garrett's going to be introduced to the team in a very surprising way.
For four episodes, right?
Yeah. Okay. He's the type who wants to stay out in the field no matter how high level he gets.
Okay. Just kick some butt.
Like I said, too, we also have... where is it? Stan Lee is coming in for an episode.
Mm-hmm.
Which
episode is that?
I believe he's in next week.
It's just a cameo. It's not like a big part or anything.
But
episode 13,
but it's a big role cameo. So, people were asking, where was he in the pilot? Well, he's in the series. So I think that's the big thing that people would be concerned about there. As he is in the series. Next week's episode, since we brought it up. The hunt for the clairvoyant heats up in next week's episode, which also features the villainous Ian Quinn and special guest cameo by Stan Lee himself.
Nice.
Episode's entitled Tracks, and it's kind of spelt out like S.H.I.E.L.D. Hot on the trail of the clairvoyant, Coulson and his team board a mystery train.
Ooh.
Why all of a sudden do I hear Soul Train or every other train song out there being played?
I'm guessing that Stan Lee is going to be on the train.
I bet you you're right.
I got a feeling.
But the train seems to be headed towards certain death.
Oh.
Ooh.
The murder on the Orient Express? Is that what this is?
Of course, you know, we have the normal team coming on as the group on Serenity. I mean, the bus. Have you ever noticed that? The layout of the bus is the same as the layout of Serenity from Firefly.
Is it?
Yeah.
You
have your big bay in the back, which, you know, it's the cargo bay on Serenity, but on the bus is where the labs and the vehicles are kept.
Again, right.
Storage bay. You also had the doctor's lab and one other lab off the bay on Serenity, on the ship Serenity. Next level is your eating area and your sleeping area, and then you go up one more level to the cockpit. Almost the exact same layout.
Didn't realize that. Wow.
So.
Yeah. Oh, you, Joss Whedon, you.
Sneaky, sneaky, sneaky. Guest starring in this episode is David Conrad as Ian Quinn, Carlo Rota as Luca Russo, TJ Remini as Mancini,
okay.
Ludwig Manukin as the conductor,
mm-hmm.
Emily Baldini as Sophia, and of course,
Stanley.
Glasses.
Stanley cast as some old guy with glasses.
So that's next week's episode. We will recap it next week and preview the following week's episode when that happens. We do not know when Paxton comes in to the show.
No, there's no date on that.
But we know he's in for four episodes. Hopefully, for four episodes, that means it's going to be a longer story arc.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've already had the cliffhanger, which kind of bombed.
kind of bombed.
It was kind of cool going into it, but then it bombed.
Kind of bombed.
Okay, majorly bombed. Because of a bomb.
I know
J. August Richards was scheduled for three episodes. I hope that cameo at the end of the cliffhanger wasn't considered his three episode commitment, because he was like only on 20 seconds,
right?
So I'm hoping there's one more episode with him for that. But we're up against a break. And so this is Mike and Ken with Mighty Marvel Geeks on Sorcerer Radio. And we'll return in a couple minutes.
So, I think I have everything. Shoes, hat, sunscreen, phone, tickets. Oh, okay, there they are. There's one more thing.
And if you're planning that long-awaited trip to Disney World, we have got the tips for you.
Ah, there it is. Can't leave without hearing the latest Disney trip tips before my Disney vacation.
Disney trip tips, Friday at 1 p.m. on Sorcerer Radio with me, Sandy Alexander. Disney favorites you mixed in with some of today's best music. And tips on visiting Walt Disney World. Disney trip tips, Sorcerer Radio, srsounds.com.
The best-kept secret for getting deluxe Disney accommodations at a substantial savings is dvc-rental.com. You don't have to own a Disney Vacation Club to stay in one of their deluxe villas. Visit dvc-rental.com and ask Scott how to get your deluxe Disney resort booked for your next Disney trip. dvc-rental.com.
Hey, don't forget to send me a postcard from the Muppet Studios.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I can't do that, Walter.
But... Gary.
Because you're coming with us.
The
your next Disney vacation with Kristen Hetzel of Magical Journeys Travel, an unconventional agency for the unconventional client. Magical Journeys is dedicated to finding the best pricing for your next magical journey.
Wait a minute. I love that idea.
Kristen will work hard to save you money and give you the quality of service you deserve. As a well-established agency and an authorized Disney vacation planner, Magical Journeys Travel has many years in the travel industry and dealing with the infamous Disney reservation system. Let Kristen help you plan your next magical journey. To book travel or for a free quote, please contact Kristen Hetzel at www.magicaljourneystravel.com/Kristen. Follow her on Twitter at Kristen Hetzel.
All right. Come on, everybody.
Magical Journeys, an authorized Disney vacation planner.
Welcome to the new sound of Sorcerer Radio. Version 3.0.
Sorcerer Radio presents the Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0.
We have the technology.
Check out our brand new Sorcerer Radio app for all iDevices as well as Android devices.
Better, stronger, faster.
Streaming Disney music 24/7. App highlights include a new broadcast window that shows you what you're listening to and what's coming up next. Multitasking so you can listen to SR as well as perform other tasks on your iPhone.
Gorge!
Listener access to all of our daily shows. The new interface, a new buffered stream, auto reconnect when signal is lost, visual EQ, pause, rewind, and scrub features.
My goodness!
And the new SR info area. Get your virtual Disney World fix today with the new Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0 from Sorcerer Radio.
Be careful with that! It's extremely dangerous.
SRSounds.com.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary.
With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your new source for the Force.
Rebel Force Radio. With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack. Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sorcerer Radio. SRSounds.com.
You're listening to Mighty Marvel Geeks on Sorcerer Radio with Ken and Mike.
Just for the record, I was dancing on those songs.
Were you?
All over my apartment. My neighbor is probably complaining now.
I wonder which Avenger's going to show up at your door.
Oh, I hope it's a hot one. I mean, like...
Hulk?
On fire.
Hulk? Red Hulk?
He's not on fire.
So let's get out of the way our picks for January 22nd.
Okay.
Shall we?
We shall.
You want me to go first this week, or you want to go first this week?
You can go. You lead it off.
Well, I'm going to go with Avengers World number 2. Empire Has Begun, Smasher, Sunspot, and Cannonball, Trapped and Prisoners of the Scientist Supreme. I'm really digging the new Avengers World. I read the previous version or volume. I think volume is what they call it. I enjoyed it. This one's a little different. Similar characters, but definitely a lot different twist. And it's not the normal Avengers we normally know. They've got some newer folks, and I really enjoyed the direction with it. And this one does have quite a few variant covers. It's got two different variant covers, or three.
Nice.
Three covers total. The main cover and two variants.
Mm-hmm. That's so, three total.
Total of three covers.
Three covers, man.
Three. So your first pick of the week.
My first pick is Avengers number 25.
You know, that was...
Is that one of yours, too?
That was one of mine as well. Great minds think alike.
We have one thing, maybe, so far. So, yes, this will be out on January 22nd. Jonathan Hickman's a writer, cover artist, Mike Diodato. This comes with, of course, the original cover, plus one, two, three, other three variant covers, and, it's introducing the all new Avengers, but in this issue, an Avenger dies.
No.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, Avengers. Yeah, my Marvel pull list for the moment is Avengers, New Avengers, Avengers World, and Uncanny Avengers.
Wow.
So, and then, of course, 2015, it would start being Star Wars. Just
new Star
depending
Wars.
On, yeah, figure out what titles from that.
Right.
But
all right.
Keep my interest.
Now that I've taken away one of yours as well, what's the last one you have?
Instead of six, it's a top five, which is fine too. My last one is Captain America number 15.
What?
It's the final fate of Nuke. Dr. Mindbubble revealed. Mindbubble. The Iron Nails war on the capitalist West begins. Captain America unraveled. And there's some variant covers with this one. It's written by Rick Remender. Cover artist is Carlos Pansio. And there's one variant cover. So two covers total.
Nice.
I almost kind of like the variant cover over the normal.
Yeah, well, usually the variant covers, I like the variant covers more usually.
Yeah.
Also more expensive.
Tends to be. So I guess you got the last two.
My next one is Inhuman number one.
Okay.
Writer Matt Fraction. And I can never say this guy's name, so I'm not even going to bother. He's pencil and cover artist. Is Joe... I can never pronounce it. Madureira? Do you know him?
No. Hey, okay. Maybe we need to try and get him on the show. That way we know how
to pronounce it. I can pronounce his name. Anyway, this one has six.
Wow.
Variant covers.
Wow.
One plus five. Six total covers.
Wow.
Because it's a number one, and it's collectible. It says collector's issue right on the front, so it must be collectible. It's going to be worth a lot of money. Not really.
It's what, $4.99 now? So
probably.
In 2 years, it'll be $5.99.
No, I doubt it. Anyway. So this one is, of course, you know who the Inhumans are or were.
Yes.
Yes or yes?
They were another team up, right? A collection of superhumans, mutants.
Well, they're a race of superhumans.
Hence, Inhuman.
Yes.
So anyway, this book is about after the fall of the Inhuman city, Attilan. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I'm terrible at pronunciation, so... And the explosion of the Terrigen Bomb. Thousands of people across the globe with no connection to the strange super race have transformed into Inhumans. The transformations have given them powers that are dangerous and terrifying, making them targets. With Inhuman King Black Bolt believed dead, is there anyone for these new Inhumans to turn to?
Dun dun. Dun.
Again. And my last pick is George Romero's Empire of the Dead Act 1, number 1.
It's cool that Marvel's got George Romero in on this.
Yeah, doing some good stuff. And our cover artist, Alex Maleev. This one's about New York City years after Undead Plague has erupted. Manhattan's been quarantined. But nobody is still safe. Not only do flesh eaters roam within Manhattan, but there's another ancient predator about to take a bite out of the Big Apple. Plus, it's a terrorizing team up in variant cover form when the zombie godfather, who is George Romero, unites with the zombie king, Arthur Soydam. So there are... of one variant cover, I guess, for this.
Why does this sound like a sequel to his last Living Dead movie that took place in New York?
With the
parking garage and all that.
Afterwards.
Yeah. That's what I said, a sequel. Or did I say prequel?
I don't know what you said. It's not a sequel.
So, that's our picks for this week.
A wise selection.
So, we hope.
We hope. So, enjoy. If you have other picks for us, we're going to be doing picks for the following, for the upcoming Wednesday each week. If you want to submit your own picks as well, we will include them in the show. Feel free to email us at weebiegeekspc@gmail.com or give us a call at 321-219-8227. With your comic picks, with your top three comic picks for the week, for the upcoming week.
Yeehaw.
Forgive the interruption, but I believe this requires your attention.
Peter Parker's returning from the death in Amazing Spider-Man number one.
Say it ain't so.
So, Marvel killed off its most popular character 13 months ago and put Doc Ock in his body. And we were stuck at issues 700 for point one, point two, point three, point whatever, point we don't care anymore, point get over it, point.
point.
Been beat to death.
Yes.
So yeah, they're bringing back Amazing Spider-Man number one. It's due out in April. Writer Dan Slott,
who Dan is the one that killed off Peter Parker and made Ock Spider-Man. So he had this in the works from the beginning.
Sounds like it. And artist Umberto Ramos. So, 13 months after Spider-Man's alter ego was squashed, Peter Parker is about to make a miraculous recovery.
No.
Only in the comic books, folks. Because technology and science isn't quite there yet.
Or, in other words, or we need another Spider-Man book to put out.
That too. Because Superior Spider-Man, I'm sorry, I'm not a big fan of it.
No. Yeah. I like it.
The nerdy Queens born superhero Queens. Had gone out losing to Doc Ock, who trapped his arch enemy's mind in his own dying body just in time for him to croak. So Doc Ock became a frog.
Ribbit.
Oh wait. No, wrong croak.
I see what you did there.
Doc Ock, a.k.a. Otto Octavius.
A.k.a. Spider-Man.
Survived in Peter's body to take up the role of Spider-Man with no one else the wiser of the Switch.
Right.
But from everything I read about it, the Aunt May was kind of suspicious. Mary Jane was a little suspicious that it wasn't the family. Peter had changed some. Dan Slott had known Parker's demise wasn't permanent, and the wall crawling Mets fan. Thank God, not a Yankees fan.
Aw, poor Yankees.
But Mets fans almost just as bad.
Hey. Stop that.
Well, you talk. You know, this is coming from a guy who's a Toronto Blue Jays fan, so.
Yeah, I even live in Toronto or near it.
Season starts off great.
Boom.
July, August hits. Tank. Time to head towards the cellar. But he would be back, relaunched in the Amazing Spider-Man series. So he had to.
Just in time for the movie.
Yeah, that too. He got
death threats and stuff because he did that Spider-Man.
Yeah. Oh, and the internet backlash.
I'll kill you with my fake Darth Vader lightsaber sword.
I'm gonna roll a die 20 in I got a 2, so you live this time.
You're going to have to cross the bridge, and you have to roll a 14, but there's only 12 on the dice.
But could you imagine him at conventions facing kids who are crying, and he has to maintain the secrecy? Don't worry, he'll be back.
He's got it all written out.
It's a story, kids. It's a story.
So
Don't worry about it.
I guess Slot divulged some of the top secret story to Real, R-E-E-L, Life, Spidey, Andrew Garfield, during a visit to the set of Amazing Spider-Man 2, which comes out this year.
Have you seen the cover to this book, right?
Yeah. It almost looks like Garfield.
Well, it's kind of ridiculous. It's like not Spider-Man.
It's that big cheesy grin.
It's like, I don't know, it's like it's for 12-year-olds.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it seems like. It is what it seems like.
He's got a huge grin. And just this, the way it's drawn is like it's, from the cartoon.
It's almost like it's from an upcoming cartoon.
Yeah. The way it's drawn, yeah.
Slot says, to do that for a solid year of my life, that's the hardest thing I've had to do.
Oh, I can imagine.
To look small children in the eye at a convention and lie to them? What did we just say? Could you imagine that? One of them with an honest-to-God Little League uniform and a quivering lip. Inside, part of me was dying.
You've killed your Spider-Man.
Are you Dan Slott?
Yes.
Oh, you kicked me in the shins, you little...
Parker's coming back, I guess, just in time.
Roll out the commercials.
The alternate cover is by Jerome Opina. I actually like it better than the primary. I kind of actually like the alternate cover better.
Oh, yeah. The alternate cover is like, that's what it should be.
Yeah. So,
it's rough and gruff and, rough and gruff.
So, wow. In the 13 months, 30 issues without Peter Parker.
Yeah. He's coming back.
So, look for him in April, and you could stop the death threats to Dan Slott.
So, is it going to be Peter Parker? I'm confused.
It is Peter Parker. So, how he comes back to life, I don't know. So, does this mean it's the end of the Superior Spider-Man line title? I hope so. I hope so. Or whatever.
Michael.
The whole 700. Because I was getting the same. Last week, you brought up as one of the comics for this past Wednesday was Cataclysm, right?
I believe so, yes. I don't remember yesterday, so.
What day is it today?
It's Friday now.
Saturday. When the show airs, it'll be Saturday.
Sunday. So, yeah. See, I told you.
In the pages of Cataclysm, The Ultimate's Last Stand, there's an article on Marvel that gives us a look beyond Cataclysm.
Beyond Cataclysm.
The Ultimate Universe will survive even this, but there will be casualties. and heroes in the world that emerges from Cataclysm will look very different.
And Galactus.
They're gonna be Disney-fied.
Yes. Galactus is not gonna be a cloud, I promise you.
Breaking news, he is.
Son of a...
With two new Ultimate books and a new title and a new direction for Miles Morales as part of Ultimate now, Cataclysm will help bring in a different look. So the good news is Miles survives, survives the Ultimate Universe, and the Ultimate Universe lives to fight another day, says Brian Michael Bendis, who, man, from what I've been reading online, he is not a fan favorite currently with a lot of stuff. Yeah.
He's written a lot of stuff.
He
took a break from the convention circuit for a while as well.
And I think probably because of just the fanboys just jumping all over him about everything.
He's got his hands in a lot of stuff.
Yeah. That said, not everyone survives, and the Ultimate Universe is left very different from where it was when it was started. Really?
Again?
Of course. Well, it's sort of like DC, and they're talking with Forever Evil, looking at restarting 52. Or changing up the new 52 some. But this is a Marvel show, not a DC show.
Too many different Spider-Men. I'm confused.
Well, there's too many different Avengers as well.
Yeah.
But Bendis and artist David Marquez will continue Miles' story in Miles Morales' Ultimate Spider-Man. And Miles' name in the title reflects that the character's new confidence in claiming the Spider-Man mantle.
Why? Why do we have to have all these Spider? I don't know which what's what and who's there. And
that's why I don't read Spider-Man. I mean, Avengers at least, you know, it's got the core team. And when they do, I mean, am I reading Secret Avengers? No. Am I reading Avengers AI? No. Or Arena? No. Or Underworld? No. But I'm sticking to the stuff that I'm familiar with.
Right.
Would I love to see him bring back Avengers West Coast? Oh yeah, bring it on. Please bring it back.
Avengers.
But I don't think that's ever gonna happen. Or at least not for a while.
Right.
Bendis also promises a big old Valentine to all that we have done in the Ultimate Universe in the form of the 200th issue of Ultimate Spider-Man just before the new series kickoff.
Wow, I can't believe it's the 200th issue.
Of Ultimate?
It's Ultimate Spider-Man. I remember buying the first one. I think it was 2001 or 2000 or 2001 it came out.
Okay.
I started with number one.
Things will happen in that issue that will cement Miles' status as Spider-Man now and for as long as he can survive it. As long as I'm physically able and contractually allowed, I will write the book. Ultimate Spider-Man remains the best job in comics. It's everything you could do. Want to do with a mainstream superhero with nothing holding us back. David Marquez continues to grow leaps and bounds with every issue. It is one of the great joys of my life that I get to make comics with David, and I can't tell you how exciting it is to get to do it all. And that is from Bendis.
He's also doing couple other books as well.
Yeah, a new teen book bringing together Miles, Kitty Pryde, Cloak and Dagger.
All new Ultimates.
A new Black Widow, and a relative newcomer bombshell in, as you just said,
All New Ultimates.
Exactly.
We'll challenge the group to keep the streets of New York safe post-cataclysm.
So I wonder if they might be setting up Avengers 2 and part of Phase 3 to go towards maybe Cataclysm for Avengers 3, and then maybe Avengers 4 turns into Infinity Gauntlet.
Who knows what they're going to do at this point.
Yeah. So, it looks like... And then while Fifi and Pinna, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, put their own inexperienced heroes up against villains on the streets, with the all-new Ultimates, Joshua Hell, Fielkoff, and Mario Guevara have brought together some of the smartest and most experienced figures in the Ultimate Universe to pit against vast existential threats in Ultimate Fantastic Four.
Is it Fantastic Four now? Or is it Future Foundation still?
Actually, you're right. It's Future Foundation. Sorry, I saw the FF and Future and figured it was Fantastic Four.
Ah,
it's Future Foundation.
Future Foundation.
Future Foundation is Sue Storm.
Designed her.
A redesigned Iron Man, the Falcon, and a new Machine Man.
Iron Man is purple.
Yeah. I see that in the cover.
Really purple. I don't like it.
Trying to see other covers or other stories in this. That's pretty much it. I think that's the three.
They all, Ultimate Spider-Man, New Ultimates, Ultimate FF starts this April.
Correct. So, that's gonna bring us to a close, for the most part. You could always catch the shows if you want to re-listen again or if you miss a week on iTunes and Stitcher. Please subscribe at either location. Rate the show, review the show, give us a review, let us know how we're doing. Again, you can contact us at weebiegeekspc.com.
What?
At weebiegeekspc@gmail.com.
No, try that again. Weebiegeeks.
Weebiegeekspc@gmail.com.
There you go.
You can always give us a call, again with your picks of the week or any other news that you might want us to talk about at 321-219-8227. Let us know if you don't mind us playing your question or comment on the air. We'll do that. If not, we'll just ask your question for you in our voices. And,
or an imitation of your voice.
Or an imitation of your voice.
Which is fun.
Other than that, we're out for this week.